Blog Talk Radio.
I pray on my knees every night. A leader starts seeing the light. 'Cause the road that we're on ain't where we belong. We've gotten so far away from the truth. God has been and always will be the foundation of life's liberties. For Christians like me and you, it's high time we spread the news. We can't sit around anymore. Come on and stand up, stand up, and fight for what you believe in. This is God's country, God ain't leaving. Oh no. In every church bell, choir that sings, His message of love still rings. Across the land, He's everywhere. He answered to our every prayer here in the U.S. of A. Come on and
words. This is Contending for Truth Radio. This is our parental sovereignty show. We talk about parental sovereignty issues. We talk about everyday issues. We talk about things going on in California, things going on in Alabama, things going on in Florida, and things going on in the rest of the country. You know, if you would have told me 7 or 8 years ago that things would be exactly the way they are right now, I would have told you were nuts. I would have told you that the American people are not ready for any kind of real far-left socialism. In fact, if you watch, if you could go back and turn the dial back to about 7, 8 years ago and just watch what's going on in politics, the Democratic side ran from the far left. Remember what happened with Jimmy Carter, sat with John Kerry. And I remember, you know, the election after that, they really kept Michael Moore and Barbara Streisand quiet. Because they didn't want to be attached to that far-left stigma that was there. But somehow in the last few years, socialism is almost become a popular word with the Democratic Party and where they want to go. They're being very clear as to where they want to go and where they want to take this nation. They're being very clear that they would like to really Obamacare is turning out to be one big mistake so that they can just really throw it right on into single payer. You know, we look at what's going on with the EPA and the FBI and NSA and our rights and our freedoms. When we look at what's going on with the UN, I got an article today. They're getting ready to put a UN flag up at the Alamo. Now, that made me chuckle. That really made me chuckle because I don't think Texas is going to like that very well. I've been studying some of the history of Texas here in the last few weeks, and I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. Texas is independent. They don't like being told what to do. They don't like the federal government telling them what to do, let alone let the UN tell them what to do. So I'm going to be interested to watch and see if when I first get to go down and visit the Alamo, if there's a UN flag flying over it. I highly doubt it. But, you know, the left, they run from these things. And in the past, but today they're embracing them. They're not afraid to come out and just totally support something like Common Core, nationalizing our schools. We saw something in an article today about anti-government, about labeling people as anti-government. Those anti-government people. There's a situation down in Arizona. Where they've got, or Arizona or New Mexico, I forget which one it was, where they've got these little bus stops that are made up to protect the kids from the gray wolf. And the gray wolf hasn't killed anybody at all over the last 2 years, but they've got these there where the kids can go in them. And to me, they seem, you know, the actual little things seem kind of innocuous. But what caught my attention was the person who was fighting against them said that they are being used by anti-government people in order to accomplish a political means. And I thought, I don't see that. But the only thing I could think of was that's the left's way of saying, because the big fight you see is the farmers want to be able to take care of the wolf when it starts invading into their, eating up their profit, and so on and so forth. But I saw that. And it struck me that the anti-government thing, you know, I'm not anti-government, but I am anti-big government. I am all for local government. I am all for people retaining control. I'm not anti-government, but I believe there's a movement just like being painted a racist, being painted a bigot, being painted somebody who doesn't like poor people, doesn't want to take care of people. The left is now starting to paint us as anti-government. And you know, I think that's the furthest thing in the world from the truth. But, you know, it's where we're going. And so tonight we're going to talk about all the issues that go together with that. We've got Jennifer on right now. We've got Rodney on right now. We're going to have great discussion because it all comes right back to our personal sovereignty, our sovereign right to make our best way in this world, our sovereign right to raise our children, to have a family, to do what we want with our property or our business. It all comes back down to sovereignty. The left side wants the government to control everything. It wants to give you everything. The side on the right wants you to have sovereignty, wants you to have control over your life, because we know that the people always do a better job than government does. Government's got a purpose. It's got to be there. You can't have anarchy either. That doesn't work. But a limited government, that's what our founding fathers decided was a good idea, and that's what's gotten us to this point. So I'm going to bring Rodney on first. Rodney, we you've been busy the last couple of weeks. Tell us about what you've been doing and what's been keeping you busy, and then I'll let you pass it on down to Jennifer down in Alabama.
Okay. You know, it's actually been run around, because it is political season again, and what happens in California happens in America, and although Jennifer has been doing an amazing job in Alabama, you're moving to Texas, which leaves me here all by myself in California. Boo. No, I'm just kidding. But it's been exciting. I've been down walking precincts for the mayor's race in San Diego, city council race in Los Angeles, making donation envelopes, banners, and stickers for Tim Donnelly for governor, multiple judge candidates. I think I've worked on about 8 different campaigns in the last month. Since I got back from New York, I've worked on production stuff, T-shirts, bumper stickers, everything else for about 30 different candidates, and I've traveled the state of California so far about 3 times since then, and it's been pretty amazing because the conservatives are starting to get fired up. I'm starting to see, you know, before Rome is completely burning, they're starting to wake up. The quantity of people who are pissed off. I mean, I've gone to Tea Party events, Republican events, Women's Republican Federated. I've been to a biker group, two Chamber of Commerce, and they've all got the petitions to reverse the bathroom bill in California. You've seen Tea Parties everywhere talking about reversing the stopping the high-speed rail, stopping Agenda 21, stopping Common Core. And I've said it before on the show, you know, when you talk to people and you're trying to explain your point of view or issue that you want them to help you on, you got to make it sound so they can understand it. And if you're making second-grade arithmetic sound like rocket science, you're losing them. And in this case, I'm starting to see a huge group of people coming forward speaking to a subject that are making rocket science sound like second-grade arithmetic, and people starting to go, oh, I understand. I want to help. And so it's starting to turn around, and people are starting to get involved, and it's looking good, and I'm excited. But with that, you know, the Republican State Convention happened, and at that convention we had the first-ever Tea Party caucus. They were allowed to get together, come up with some ideas, resolutions for the party. They came up with anti-Agenda 21, anti-Common Core, anti-high-speed rail, the voter ID enforcement, and there was a fifth one. I forget what it was. And basically all 5 passed unanimously. And it was like, sweet, the Republican Party. I made a comment. They had me speak to the group before one of their little get-togethers, and I said, who the hell let the Tea Party back in? Oh, that's right. We've brought back home the true conservatives of the party. And they're on central committees. They're getting involved in becoming delegates of the state convention, running for office. And, I mean, our SPAN group, Strategic Political Alliance Network, has about 14 different candidates we're working with right now all over the state of California that are stepping up to the plate to run, and we're probably picking up about 10 more. So school board candidates, everything else. And at this point, it's just going back to what we keep talking to people. Our country is out of control. If you truly believe that our president didn't know the NSA was tapping foreign leaders, if you didn't know that he had no clue the website didn't work until the day after it launched, it's an absolute fundamental wake the hell up and get involved, because we've got to start taking this country back, and you are the first line to it. You've got to do it. We can't do it. The 5 of us on this show cannot do it by ourselves. We need everybody else that's listening. Talk to your friends. And I came up with a solution as a Women's Republican Federated State Convention. I need 5 from each person on this show, and we're going to win California. Tim Donnelly for governor, and we're going to win 500 local elections in the state of California. I need everybody listening. I need you between now and Election Day 2014. You make 5 phone calls to 5 of your friends, 5 times, whenever you want to do it. So you're going to talk to 25 people. You're asking them to also make 5 phone calls. And then you're going to pick any candidate you want, local all the way up to Tim Donnelly, and you're going to donate $5. Spread the word. That alone, 555, we can take back California and win it. And I pass it to Jennifer.
Rodney? I tell you, I was talking to somebody earlier today. We have a dilemma. People have gotten to the point to where, you know, it's not worth the gamble for them in gerrymandered districts to fork over any money. And this attorney was telling me today that the reason that they do not want to give to a Republican candidate in a gerrymandered district is because they do a lot of business in D.C., and the incumbent candidate is a congressional candidate that goes to D.C., Democrat. And as a Republican, if they stand up for principle and vote for the Republican, if they spend money on the Republican, then the Democrat incumbent candidate is going to make it hard for them. So they have to deal with, you know, they're backed into a corner. So rather than wish you luck.
They don't have to give money to a, if they're in, and a good example, Senate District 26 in California, it's 61% Democrat, 21% Republican. Okay? If you live there, don't give money to that candidate. The next district over is a 50-50 district. That's where your money belongs. That's where your phone calls belong.
So we've got a guy right now who has given to a local candidate here running for Congress in District 7. And he's given to the candidate a certain amount of money, and he's been trying to, from what I understand, he's been trying to put together, you know, a team. I mean, some people do a private fundraiser, but it's been difficult because nobody wants to get involved, and because they don't want to take, it's a losing bet to them. We have someone out there right now who has a strategy, a proven strategy, to persuade people, to inspire people to vote their values. And but we've got old dogs that don't want to be taught new tricks, because they are just, you know, living by the old establishment creed, and that, you know, it's not worth the fight to fight for the Democrat seat, you know, and put a Republican in it. And so I say this. I say, you know, we the people hold their feet to the fire, and let's show them that what we say does matter and our voice does count. You know, and if, you know, you want to see a Republican candidate in your district win, then you rally the troops and you do what's necessary to make it happen and go door to door. And, you know, I just don't tell me I can't, because the Constitution says I can. We have people, you know, that said it couldn't be done. There was no way to abolish slavery, you know, and there were people that went to bat, the abolitionists that went to bat for that. You know, there's been instances where people have said, no, it can't be done, but we know that it can be. Herman Cain did not have a voice when he first got in the race running for president. They would not give him any media attention. They kept overlooking him in the debate, and we, the people, stood up. Not just we, the Tea Party, but we, the people, all over the place, stood up and said, no, we want this guy to have a voice. You know, and there were times when it was difficult. But, you know, there was a lot of people out there that wanted to see it happen. So you've got a school board race, and you have someone that is just like the, you know, the pick to win. And if you have a majority of people in your community, you know, that want to see the conservative candidate win it, then it's time to get out there and show. This is, you know, time for us to get out there and be doers of the word. You know, not just sit on the couch and complain and let other people kind of take charge. But, you know, as an individual, I am a voter. If I have the right to vote, then I have the duty and responsibility to go out there and exercise not only my right to vote, but to encourage others to do the same. You know, and we do not have to allow the communists to win. We do not have to allow those that are the naysayers that say it can't be done to win. You know, and some people say that, well, you know, you got to have a lot of money to show yourself approved. You know, this is our country at stake. This is our Constitution at stake. We've got somebody out there right now. There's a whole group of folks that would love to see our Constitution ripped to shreds. They want to see the United States taken down. And these are people that live here. And it's sad to say, but these are people that live here. You know, and it's time. It's time. You know, it's either you stand for something or you fall for anything. And I stand for the Constitution you know, their values that I stand for, and I think it's time that we, as American citizens, we get off of our couches, get off of our chairs, and we go and hit the street and do what it takes. You know, make those phone calls. There's many numerouses of races going on in 2014, from your local, your county, city, you know, precincts, all the way up to the national, and it's time, you know. But the mentality that all politicians are corrupt, and we see what we have one person that's in the Senate right now, Ted Cruz, who is standing up and fighting for us and showing that, you know, he does have a voice, and the times that he's been out there, you know, filibustering, you know, in D.C., you know, I think we could learn from that. It's time that we go out there and fight the good fight. And you know, there's unanswered questions. There's unanswered questions. You know, what happened in Benghazi? You know, what's going on with this the fact that we have government health care that's trying to be imposed upon Americans. And, you know, there's still answers that we need. There's questions we need answers to. It's time for us to get off our, you know, get off of our seats and go and do some things, you know. And I know some people say, well, you know, I've given all I can give. I'm tapped out. You know, I can't keep giving anymore. But maybe you don't have it financially to give, but you have the opportunity to make 5 phone calls. You have the opportunity to talk to your neighbor and inspire them. You know, you may have financially tapped yourself out, but still, you know, we can talk to our neighbors. We can let our voices be heard. We can go door to door. We can go from, you know, precinct to precinct and go to these events and make a difference. You know, it's time that we get out there and let people know that, you know, the backroom deals are done, that we're tired of it. You know, we're tired of the establishment making decisions for us. You know, they tell us who they want to be elected. And it's even happening in local school board areas, local city precinct areas, you know, and we had somebody here in my county, ran for probate judge, former Democrat, turned Republican. They in order to keep the incumbent candidate in office, you know, we had two Republicans running in the primary, and somebody decided to chunk a lot of money into one particular candidate's campaign in the primary so the other one would lose. And then when it came time to going up against the incumbent Democrat, the Rhino lost. And now where are they? You know, they've moved out of town. You know, we've got to say enough is enough. You know, it's time to take a stand. I think that Donnelly has a chance, but it's going to take the people of the state of California to get out there and make a difference, you know. I will say that my kudos, a double kudos, go out to the people that are coming out, that have been afraid to speak out, those that have been afraid to come out and say that I am Republican, that are willing to take a stance now and to deal with whatever the media is throwing their way. And we have people out there that are making a difference. You know, and it's amazing, but it, you know, it's got to be done. Scott?
Well, actually, amen, hey, amen. Scott, if I can jump in real quick, real fast. Hey, Jen, you know, when you talk about everything you just talked about, you know, out here in California, I get tons of people. They've left the Republican Party. They've given up. They've quit. They aren't going to do it anymore. It's not a winnable district. It's not a winnable seat. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's blah, blah, blah. We just won SD16 plus 19% Democrat. Texas used to be bluer than John would say, bluer than a Smurf humping a Windex bottle. With Wisconsin, Scott Walker. Massachusetts, Scott Brown. Texas, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz never should have won that election except for they estimate over 500,000 phone calls were made into Texas phone banking from 49 other states in America because people called in and got to work. You know, how is ignoring it working for you? How's giving up working for you? How's quitting working for you? You know, and I hate when I hear they all suck or he's a rhino because of immigration or because of the debt ceiling or because of health care. Stop one issue. Stop one issue. Stop low-information voters. It takes 5 phone calls, 5 times, $5. Get on it. I don't want to hear that it's not a winnable district. I just picked up that SD26 race, 60% to 20-some-odd percent. That's one of my new clients. We're going to do our damnedest to make sure we win, and we're going to – and on the flip side, if everybody in America made those 5 phone calls, the Democrats wouldn't know what to do because they wouldn't be able to just go, okay, they're only in California. They've picked 5 districts as target races. Oh, well, good job handing in your game book. Now they know where to focus all their resources into 5 districts. I want every district. I want 500 local candidates. I want a governor's race. I want a state, all kinds of races. And the Democrats don't get to focus all their energy in one place. And it's time to actually take this country back. And it's going to happen with everyone doing small stuff. But doing nothing will never solve it.
Amen, Rodney. And both of you, you know, when I got involved with Don Chamberlain, Jennifer down there, one of the things that really told me he could have won, and he could have won if he had everything right. He didn't have that grassroots support in mass. Sometimes there's just not enough time to put it together. But let me tell you, when somebody tells me that you can't win something, that tells me that when you do, it's going to be awesome. I'm thankful for my hurdles. I'm thankful for my hurdles because the bigger the hurdles, the more confidence God's got in me, obviously. But the other thing is when I get those hurdles jumped, I'm going to be stronger. If my hurdles are little hurdles, you know, it's not a big deal. So I've always felt that if the Democrats would lose Alabama 7 in such a gerrymandered district, it would only prove the effectiveness that grassroots can have. And we're going to work real hard to make sure that Matt Jenkins has a strong grassroots presence in Alabama and in the country, because that's what's going to win this. You know, I want to go on to Tim Donnelly for a moment. And Ronnie, when you come back, I want you to just kind of – you know Tim better than I do. I know of him. You know him. But I'm going to tell you, there's 2 reasons why I think Tim Donnelly just absolutely is one of the finest men we've got right now in government. And that's because when CPS, Child Protective Services, in California got out of line, went in and stepped over the bounds of parental sovereignty and got themselves in a mess, Tim Donnelly stood up and said, uh-uh, this ain't happening, this is not right, and he went out and did something about it. That's Tim Donnelly. This is Parental Sovereignty Radio. That is Tim Donnelly directly fighting for parental sovereignty. I think he's awesome. When Tim Donnelly pulled his kids out of public school to make a statement, no, you're not doing this with my kids, that was fighting parental sovereignty. And I think that's awesome. And you know what? Let me tell you. Here in California, Tim Donnelly can overwhelmingly win that election in 2014 if the people will get up off the couches and go to work. If the people will get up off their couches and do something, it can't always be money. You know, I've always laughed because I think I gave Herman Cain a total of $10 during the entire campaign. But I guarantee you that summer, I know Rodney, and I know Jennifer, and I know I know Dan Wilson spent countless hours a week helping that man, tweeting and Facebooking and talking to people and sharing information and sharing videos and sharing his speeches and raising money and making connections for him. We worked really, really hard, and we proved that a good grassroots organization – and Herman Cain had just as good and solid a grassroots organization as Ron Paul did, even if Herman Cain didn't know it, and Herman Cain didn't. Jamie Brazil, 2 weeks into his job, went, oh, where'd all these people come from? And I'm not afraid to say that on the radio because that was insane. But let me tell you, I watched what can happen when a group of individuals gets together and says, yeah, this is the guy. He's got the right message. He's got the right excitement. He's got the right solutions. And we're going to do that for Tim Donnelly. And I want to pass it back to you to give Tim a little infomercial. I've been supporting him on Facebook. My picture on Facebook is for Tim. I think he's one of the few remaining awesome things in the state of California. And he's done an exceptional job in Congress. And I believe that he can take and march California back just like Texas was marched back. I believe he's got the ability to get out and tell the people, listen, the left wants to take you into this mess. This is where they want to take you. They want Child Protective Services to be able to step into your home at any time and tell you what to do. That's what the far left wants. Now that's not what the Democratic Party wants. That's not what JFK's Democratic Party wants. But the far left that's got a hold of the Democratic Party, that's what they want. And I'm going to pass it back to you, Rodney. Tell us a little bit more about Tim Donnelly and what he's been doing and where the campaign's going.
Well, you know, actually, I just got done. He ran out of donation envelopes. I just printed 5,000 more and had to deliver them at the Women's Republican Federated State Convention. I mean, even going back to it's Tim Donnelly versus Abel Maldonado versus Jerry Brown out here in California. You know, Jerry Brown II. He was the youngest governor ever elected to California. He's now the oldest governor ever elected to California. You know, that's all great. Yay. But, you know, the bottom line, Tim is out there running around California. I tried to text Mark Moisier, who's handling kind of like his right-hand guy, get him on the show tonight, but he's actually filming right now, and they're going to be busy for like the next 2 hours. But we will get him on soon. You know, he is willing to pull. Well, he's not, you know, at the convention, for instance, you had Abel Maldonado. I never even saw him, and I actually know who he is, unless you were going to go to his suite or you were a big donor, and nobody really saw him. Now, Tim, running meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, and you know, you watched me at this convention when I was running for vice chair. It was like, you know, oh, look, there's Rodney, small blur, you know, but you saw this entourage with Tim. He was talking to people. He'd stop and have a conversation with you. There's no attitude. It's not he's better than anybody. He'll talk to anybody. You know, one of Mark's biggest things is he goes somewhere and does a speech, and he doesn't just run out. He wants to hang out and talk to people, you know. When he becomes governor, how's he going to fix California? What's your opinion? He wants to hear it, and he's really doing it. I mean, I think in the last 3 days, he's been between North to South California four or five times in, like, less than a week. The convention was this weekend, today's Tuesday. So in 4 days, he's been North to South five times. And, I mean, it's just crazy. Drive down there in the daytime, drive back up for something up here at night. It doesn't matter to him if it's the Pasadena Tea Party and you've got 500 people, or the El Dorado County Republican Party, and you've got 25 people, you know. So he's not looking for the big donors or the glory. He's looking for getting the word out there and doing that. Everybody needs to get involved. Everybody needs to help this state. Our state is, you know, people think the nation's bad and what Obama's doing is bad. They're looking at lead bullet ban. You've got the transgender bathroom bill. Our schools are so upside down, it's not even funny. You know, we're 47th in education, 48th in economy. It's absolutely pathetic. We're only number one in welfare recipients and immigration. And he's willing to stand up and point blank say it, you know, this is what needs to be done, which even the Republicans in Washington won't do. You know, I'm actually getting pretty sick and tired of hearing him stand up, Obamacare is wrong. Okay, I want to see. It would shut a bunch of liberals and Tea Partiers up. What's your solution? Give me the other option. It sucks. What's going to fix it? You know, and just saying they suck isn't fixing it. You know, and out here in California, he's willing to take a stand. He's willing to buck the what's popular, buck what everyone thinks he ought to say. And it's like Tom McClintock. I admire Tim Donnelly. He's like Chuck DeBoer. He's like Herman Cain. What comes out of his mouth is actually what he's thinking, and what he believes in, whether you like it or not. You know, he's not, I guarantee you, I know one thing, none of us write his speeches. none of us are allowed to tweet for him. None of us handle his PR and public relations, you know, so it's what Tim says is what Tim thinks. And, you know, you can sit there and go, I disagree. Well, then you disagree with him. But he's not lying to you. You know, what you see is what you get with Tim. And I love that because I think that's what California needs. You know, at least you know what you're getting. And, you know, we talk all the time about we get them elected and then they turn on us. You know, and Californians are pissed at that from both ends of the aisle. I think he's going to bring a whole lot of people across. Huh?
I want to ask you a question. And, I watch the news a little bit different than most people. I try and put things into a timeline. And I saw something happen a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was a big sign. And, no, I didn't see any pundits talking about it. But Jerry Brown, every once in a while, surprises us. And he surprised us a couple of weeks ago. A lot of those bills that were gun control bills, he vetoed. And I don't think he vetoed them because he didn't like them. I don't think he vetoed them because they went too far. I think he vetoed them because he was scared. I think it was a defensive tactic. And I think it shows that the left in California, especially when it comes concerning those in the know around the governor's mansion, is going, you know what, we might be getting ourselves into trouble. Obama might have overstepped. The left might have overstepped. We might be getting ourselves in trouble. We better stand back a little bit. That's what I got out of that, and I want to ask your opinion on that for you to cover that a little bit. What do you think?
I totally agree. I think that I was kind of shocked. You know, they got the people from the Colorado recall out here want to launch a recall against some people that authored the lead bullet ban, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's a fight for my dues to the NRA and my dues to the gun owners of California to fight that one. And in the meantime, he vetoed the assault weapons ban, vetoed the clip ban, vetoed the registration for rifles. It's like a recall is not the answer. Making sure that he does not get reelected is. Tom McClintock put it perfectly. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people spent 4 years focusing on Obama's birth certificate, and we should throw him out of office. He doesn't have a birth certificate. If he had spent half that time, hell, 20% of that time, focused on making sure he didn't get reelected, as you spent worrying about his birth certificate, because like I said before, and it's a phrase I got from somebody else, I don't give a damn where he's born at. I give a damn where he's living right now, you know. And the way to win back California, I'm not going to sit there and try and recall Jerry Brown. Of course, I'm fundamentally against recalls. Last time we had a recall, I was one of the initial signers of that recall. You can blame me for it. I worked my butt off for Tom McClintock, and we got Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm embarrassed. I'm not willing to go through a recall again. I'm willing to make sure he's a one-term governor and he's out. It's time for him to retire. So.
And you know what, Rodney? You were right there at the beginning of that recall. I watched that recall from Trinidad and Grenada those years. And it was fascinating to me to see two foreign countries, actually two foreign countries from two different eras of imperialism. One was controlled by France at one time and one by Great Britain at the other. But to watch their excitement over the California recall and the Arnold Schwarzenegger gubernatorial campaign. They watched that from the very beginning, and they talked about issues of economics going on in the state of California. I was absolutely amazed. But, you know, I'm right there with you, Rodney. I've never been too big on recalls. Boy, if we start recalling everybody on every other side, we go back and forth and back and forth. We need to put that effort into exactly what you're saying, getting the right guy in and getting the wrong guy out. And it's a matter of also, Rodney, and you've said this a lot of times on this show, we can get 500 small candidates elected, working real hard with the grassroots. We'll have the votes to overwhelmingly put Tim Donnelly in the governor's office. And We all got to watch the excitement. And Rodney, I know you've been in politics longer. I started with Herman Cain. I always voted. I always spoke my opinion, but I didn't get active until Herman Cain. But we know what people on the ground can do. I think you've got right down the line exactly what we've got to do. We've got to start calling people. We've got to start talking to people. We've got to start supporting these guys. And when we do, and when we put our time and our effort and money, if we can do that, into it, we're going to win this. And we'll get the message out. And I'm excited about it. Jennifer, I'll pass it back to you. And I want to, I want to talk and do the same thing. You know, we got Matt Jenkins down there in Alabama 7. Who I greatly respect. We've got Jonathan Barbie, who I love to death. I cannot wait to get to Texas because I'm going to be just that much closer to meeting Jonathan Barbie. I want to tell you a story before I pass it on to Jennifer and let her cover this a little bit. You know, Jonathan Barbie last a couple of weeks ago, speaking of the Federation of Republican Women, they had set up a meeting with Ted Cruz. And because of the chaos in Washington, Ted wasn't able to make it. Jonathan Barbie said, oh, no, we're going to find a way to make this happen. We're going to think out of the box. And he did make it happen. And he ran up to Washington, D.C. with a camera, and he brought Ted Cruz to Alabama via video so that he could make that meeting. And let me tell you, that's the kind of thinking we need. The kind of thinking Jonathan Barbie, what he basically said, let's tear everything around, and what he basically said was, I'm going to find a way to make this happen. And that's what we need in our politicians. So, Jennifer, as I pass it to you, I'll let you talk about Jonathan and talk about Matt. They're both friends of this radio show, and they're both great guys.
Well, I will tell you, the dinner fundraiser in Huntsville, they had an invitation extended to Ted Cruz to come and speak. They had 300-plus people there at this venue. There was 100, I think, tickets were like $100 a plus, something like that. And right in the middle of running a serious race for Public Service Commissioner Place 2, and Jonathan decided to put his campaign on hold, specifically to go and make sure that the Women Republican Federation of Huntsville were able to make good on those tickets. And he went to D.C., and he Skyped Senator Ted Cruz in to that dinner. And people got an opportunity to get a wow speech. And, it was not a simple task. But he it wasn't campaign money that he used to do this. He took money out of his own pocket, stopped what he was doing to go to D.C., to be there, to make sure that these people got exactly what they needed. You got kudos out to someone that's willing to do, put the people first, people and principle. I'm really, really glad to say, we've got it's a tough road ahead for a lot of those people that are out there running. But it's nice to see that that we have someone like Jonathan who's looking out for the people. He could have said, this is a race I'm running and I don't have time. But he took time out to do this. I'm real grateful that we have good candidates out there. District 7, the things that we're dealing with in District 7, people are not happy. People are saying that I know that the current congresswoman is not doing her part to help her constituents. People are staying on the street. They're not happy. We went down to Marion County last week. Matt Jenkins and I drove down to Marion County, went down to meet with people. We were talking about, there was a couple that had moved from Atlanta to Marion. They took the railroad away. The train is no longer coming through Marion. The town is dried up. Their original purpose for coming was to start a bed and breakfast, you know, and livelihood community has been stripped from them. What is it about the infrastructure, you know, in the district that it keeps drying up and people are leaving the district? We need a new voice. We need new leadership. And the leadership that we have right now is not working. And we know that this is happening all across the United States. You know, it's what I can do in Washington and to help me, myself, and I. And at the end of the day, the community is suffering. People are losing jobs left and right. And why? We need people that stand up, that care, that want to do more than just throw a bone to the constituents in their district. And we have somebody who has that passion, that charisma, that desire to want to make a difference. They have some ideas. They have some solutions, determination. And it does not include backroom deals. It does not include, you do this for me and I'll. It is the people, the American people, and it's time. We were like, what is it that is the, what is your issue? What is your main issue? And the main issue is that, months ago we had a thriving community. They took the railroad out and now it's, people don't have anything, reason to want to go to work. No wonder people want to stay under government health care. No wonder people want to stay under government rule, because it's a guaranteed check. And we're saying we want to offer you a better opportunity. If you have the opportunity to build a business and make $1 million a year, then why shouldn't you have that opportunity? And we have someone that wants to provide that kind of an avenue, that kind of infrastructure in Alabama District 7. I think it's worth the gamble. I believe for the American people in Alabama District 7, it's worth the gamble. But it's going to take many, many boots on the ground to make this work. We've got to get rid of the old idea, that the Republicans and Democrats kind of gave this district to the Democrats and it'll never be Republican ever again. The reason that it will never be Republican ever again, or the reason that it will never be a candidate that wins that is for the people, is because we ourselves that have the opportunity to make a difference roll over and allow those people to dictate to us and say no. And it's time that we take a stand. You got people that say, if I give to this candidate, they don't want it to come out publicly, that they're supporting a true conservative. Because if they do, then somebody else is going to take their rights away from them in another area, or they're going to vote differently, and it's going to make it hard on them. Enough of the bullying in politics. We've got to make a stand. Jonathan Barton's doing a phenomenal job. He really knows the facts. He's not just running based on, and letting somebody else tell him what to say. He's getting the information himself. When you've got to have somebody else to feed that kind of passion to you, the things that we need to have happen in this country, we've got to have some things change. If we don't, we're going to find ourselves where our Constitution is going to be stripped and our flag is going to be stepped on and our children are going to grow up little by little knowing less and less and less of what freedom truly means. And it's time. I will say this. there's going to be some more candidates that are going to come out, and that are going to come out that haven't announced yet across the United States. And some of them will be solid conservatives, but they're not even going to have a chance to get to even get recognized because others have control, and they want to be the ones to dictate. And we need to say enough is enough. You know, this small little group that gets in a room and they decide what they want to see happen in the United States, and they kind of dictate to the rest of us, and then the media gets in there and follows right in behind and does their propaganda, and it's a done deal. We saw that happen continuously in 2012. We've got to get busy. If we lose the House and the Senate this time around, if the conservative movement loses the House and the Senate, we will just, it might as well turn the government over to communist regime. Things have got to change. Things have got to change. Lies are being spewed every day. There are those people that believe it just because they've been taught that if it comes from a Republican, it's considered, you know, a lie. If it comes from a Democrat, it's the truth. These are people that have been taught this for years. And, you know, it's time that we as Republicans get trained and learn, you know, how to engage, to make a difference. It's time for those of us that are, you know, tired of what we see on our television screens, what we see in our schools every day, with our kids coming home and the problems that we have existing, it's time that we make a difference. Get out there and be a voice. There's only a small percentage of people that really know. The Women Republican Federation of Alabama had their convention this past weekend, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's a member of the Tea Party, and she had gone to this. She said it was amazing to her how many people did not know the facts about Common Core. The only those of us that seem to really, really know are the ones that are engaged in fighting to get rid of it. The rest of the public and the population of America doesn't know. They're more focused on who's winning American Idol than, you know, and as I've said before, one day we're going to wake up and people are going to be screaming, what happened? What happened? I wish I'd have seen it coming. I wish I'd have paid attention. And we're going to have, if we're not careful, we're going to lose our Second Amendment rights. And we know we have history that shows. Scott?
Exactly, Jen. And, you know, especially when we start talking about some of these other smaller candidates. You know, I want to mention something. I probably should have mentioned it in that montage I said a while ago about Alabama and Matt Jenkins. I walked out of a couple of years ago a huge, huge love for Don Chamberlain. Of all the candidates that I supported, he was the one, and he came out like a grandpa. I have that kind of a grandfatherly respect for him. And since Don got past that election, Don hasn't stopped. And Don has continued to march forward with how he knows that the Black Belt, the dirt there, and Alabama 7, and the Farm Initiative, and all of that together, and he's kept going, and they're accomplishing things. And Matt Jenkins comes in behind that, and you mentioned this, Jen, and I want to go on to it a little bit, and then I'll turn it back over to Rodney. But Matt, one of the last things we discussed a couple of weeks ago when he was on the show was that infrastructure. Because Don Chamberlain can get together with all of these guys and put into action what he's been putting into action. And look at my Facebook folks, my Facebook page, folks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a beautiful picture. It's one of the last pictures that was posted on there about what's going on with the Farm Initiative and what Don Chamberlain's doing. But if there's not an infrastructure, a proper infrastructure to go along with that, then it's not going to go anywhere. If they put something out there and you can't get the food back and forth, like Matt said a couple of weeks ago, you got a mess. And so you've got a man, Matt Jenkins, who understands the fundamental order, the fundamental protocol of things that you have to do in order to make the 7th District of Alabama and Alabama as a state and its agricultural wealth that it's got there, the possibility for that, in order to make those things right. You've got to get different pieces. You put the infrastructure there, pretty soon you've got more jobs. The more jobs you've got, then you've got more houses. The more houses you've got, the more needs you've got for supporting businesses, grocery stores, and different things like that. And, it's one of the reasons I can't wait to get Matt back on. We'll have him on here again in a few weeks, I am sure. But I can't wait to hear him talk about his Social Security plan. But Matt understands what we've got to do. And we've got to get behind, we've got to support candidates like that. It's a whole lot different than a candidate who gets up there and says, well, this is what I believe on this issue and this issue and this issue and this issue. Like you said, Jenny, you know, all the candidates don't agree. I'm never going to find a candidate that I agree with every single thing they say. That would be insane. But we've got to get together with these candidates that are working. You know, used to talk about bold solutions a lot. When Herman Cain was going and Dan Hughes was running. And what are the solutions? How are you going to fix this? That's Tim Donnelly. Now, Pastor, I'm going to ask you a question. You're connected right now to a bunch of people that are getting ready to run. I want you to give me some names of the ones you think are the most awesome, and then I'll let you take it off with the conversation wherever you want.
Well, I mean, obviously, for starters, Tim Donnelly for governor, but we also have William Morrison, who's stepping up to the plate in Southern California and in Los Angeles, an almost unwinnable district, but he's willing to step up. You know, I'm trying to Judy Ruggiero in Vacaville, possibly running for the Vacaville School Board. You've got Elizabeth Amkin running against Ami Barra for Congress. You've got, you know, hopefully Ted Cruz for president 2016. Who knows? But it's just you've got candidates all up and down the entire state that they need help. You know, we've met at the convention. I've probably met 50 candidates. Wilson Ferrara. She is running for Congress, and she just decided to do it. And I met her at the convention and saw her again at Women's Republican Federated last weekend, and she's awesome. Does she have $500,000 already? No. Does she specifically have it all planned out, ready to go? No. That's why SPAN's going to help her. You know, she's got the drive to do it because somebody has to. There are so many people out there that did not wake up 2 months ago and say, I want to run for office, or 2 years ago, or 10 years ago. These people are stepping up to do it. And as far as I'm concerned, even if it's not the greatest campaign or anything else, that's what SPAN is for, Strategical Political Alliance Network. We've come together with an entire group of us, and half these campaigns, we're stepping up to the plate and doing stuff way ahead of any paycheck any of us are going to get, giving advice and strategy and stuff to these campaigns to get them started and off the ground, because we have to do it. You know, and like I said before, if all we do is pick five candidates in the state of California and say, okay, these are the five we're going to do, the Democrats are going to go, great, everybody pull all your resources to these five. You know, while we're trying to say we've got these five are target districts, Nancy Pelosi's already come in and said, these are the ones I want to pick off because we're going to leave them hanging. You know, she did it to Dan Lundgren. She's now targeting Baldeo, down in your neck of the woods, you know, her number one target in America, and we're not seeing it. And as far as I'm concerned, give me 500 local elections. John DeAgostini for sheriff, obviously he's running for office, and you know how much we all love him. But so far, no one's decided to step up the plate and run against him because that would be crazy, you know. And you got Tom McClintock for Congress up here in my neck of the woods. Ted Gaines, who ran for Assembly and won and then ran for State Senate, he's now running for California State Insurance Commissioner, and which will be really unique. I didn't even know this until I did some research on this, Scott, in California. You know, it's been 20 years since we had somebody in an elected office that actually had any experience in the office they hold. Secretary of State, insurance commissioner. We currently have a trial lawyer as an insurance commissioner. Ted Gaines owns an insurance company. Wouldn't you think we want to have an insurance commissioner that has experience in the insurance industry? Duh. So, you know, I'm really glad Ted's running. And at this point, you know, what we did with SPAN, we just, anybody could do what we've done with SPAN, but, you know, taking it to a new level, I'm the ground game guy. You got Dave Miller's doing, you know, the day-to-day operations of the company. Marquita is an absolute genius on policy. You know, can talk about, I said it earlier, making rocket science sound like second-grade arithmetic so the candidate can get the message out. She's the one that's going to come in and actually explain it to you, how to talk to people about it, so that it actually makes sense to them. You know, Tim Kaur, my God, this dude can write code and build you a website that you kind of go, what? And don't let him try and talk to you about how he built it, because he will lose you like third word. But, you know, we're out there doing whatever it takes on any campaign it takes. And if they don't have money, that's okay. What do you need to do? And getting involved and finding volunteers to get involved and local races. Fresno, you got the mayor's race in San Diego right now. You've got two special elections coming up here in my own county, EID, the water board. Gee, how important is that? You know, you're tired of your water rates going up? Get some good people on the water board. And better yet, make sure they're conservative so they know to vote the right way. School board, stop Common Core. It's not going to happen if your school board is all a bunch of liberals. So it just takes talking to people, and that's all it takes. So there's dozens of candidates. You call me and tell me where you live. I guarantee I can find you a campaign that you should be working on. Guarantee it.
We have a candidate in Alabama, District 1. It's a special election between Bradley Byrne, who is considered the establishment pick, career politician, and Dean Young, who is the We the People, the Tea Party pick in the state, down in District 1, Lower Alabama, Mobile area. This coming Tuesday the 5th is going to be the election between the two, and we're asking for anyone that wants to come and be boots on the ground down in Mobile to make a difference, to sign wave, to come on board. You know, they're going to have this race. It's a special election race. But the governor picked, you know, this the 5th of November. And then he's going to turn around, whoever wins, and they're going to have to run again for 2014. And, you know, we've got some serious issues all across the United States, candidates that really need us to support them, you know, and it's not just a matter of in name only. People that support the Constitution have respect for life, belief in limited government, belief in personal responsibility. You know, we need these candidates to step forward. The thing that I tell people is, you know, in this day and age, it seems like if you don't have an Ivy League college degree, you're not going to make it. But we have a man who didn't even have the right to own his own body, that up until the age of 20 was a slave. He ran away from the plantation to find a better way to live. He decided that what America had to offer him, he was not going to lay down and just allow it to eat him alive. He learned the power of education. He taught himself how to read and became the owner of 3 newspaper companies and advisor to 5 U.S. presidents. So we know that there is somebody out there living the life of a Frederick Douglass, and we know that there are people out there that can make a difference, that do care, and we have to get behind those people because we need to save this nation. And don't let the naysayers stop you. You have passion. I was talking to someone recently who is considering running down in Louisiana for a race down in Louisiana, and they're questioning the fact that nobody knows who they are right now. And I'm like, you know, it can be done. We have a presidential race where there was a candidate who nobody really knew who he was, and we the people put his name on the map. You know, and now he's running his own radio show, Herman Cain. There are things that we can do to make a difference. And even if it's local races. So, you know, we've got to have people that are willing to step up to do the things necessary. But we've got to get out there and support them. We cannot sit at home. You know, we have issue with voter fraud. And we know this for a fact, that people, for some reason, during election time, the dead come alive, and they're somehow able to vote again. I was talking
again?
To a friend of mine. Yes.
Hey, I was going to ask you, just between you and Scott, I mean, just obviously I've been in politics since 1994 with Tom McClintock, but between you, Scott, and think of all the other people, when we had the Herman Cain campaign, percentage-wise, how many people nationwide did you think we had on our team, state to state to state, that you or me, you were out there in Alabama, I was out here in California dealing with, that had never done politics before until Herman Cain came along? We did not have highly trained, experienced professionals. We had a bunch of volunteers. What do you think the percentage was?
You know, I will say, I don't know the specific numbers, but I will tell you this. I have never seen a more inspired group of people that I was involved with. I was involved with putting together what we called this Cain Train Convoy to South Carolina primaries, and we were preparing eight statewide convoy that was going to go right into the Capitol. And I talked to people that were giving their last Social Security check to this campaign. I saw people that were getting so creative and doing, you know, bypass, over the bypass banner signs for this gentleman. You know, they were so moved, so inspired by his willingness, his desire, his ability, his capability. And then we had people on the right and the left that did not want to see him succeed. And we saw a lot of, you know, media propaganda come out, the race baiting came out. But, you know, I would say, you know, if I had to guess, I would say that of this last year's election, there were more that came out in the primary for that race than I have seen in years past. The rallies that were happening all across the United States, when they had this Florida straw poll, there was so much that was going on, the social media aspect of things for this individual, if that's we the people are the reason that Herman Cain's voice did eventually get heard, because we said that we were not going to let the media silence him or silence us. And so it was just phenomenal, the things that transpired from this. But we do know this. I have learned this, that we are a center-right nation. And we start running candidates that are moderate. We're trying to compete with the Democrats. We're going to lose every time. It's shown time and time again, just like in the Herman Cain race. People want a true, solid conservative, someone who respects life, respects the Constitution, has believes in limited government, in personal responsibility. You know, these are the things, the value, core values, regardless of what party you're in. These are the things that we've discovered that most general population, that's what they want. Scott?
Well, Rodney, I don't know that I could put a number on it, but I can tell you this, most of them were new to politics. Not new to politics as far as keeping up with the facts and keeping up with current events and understanding what's going on and voting and having discussions, but being active for a person on a campaign, I would say most of them, most of the people that I knew. And I walked away after that experience with a lot of good friends all across the United States who were working hard. I've got one good friend, Teresa Bresky, up there in Minnesota. And I'll tell you, Teresa's been doing this since she was 12 years old. She was hauling her mom around when she was 12 years old, being politically active. But other than that, the huge bulk of the people that I met on the cane train were just that. They were excited about what they were doing, and they were too ignorant about politics to play politics, and it was wonderful. Because what they did was they did was in their heart. They shared their love for the candidate. They shared why they believed what they believed. And they didn't get all mixed up. Sometimes, you know, our politicians, one of the problems is they get so far into the politics that every decision they make is a political decision. And so their answers are political answers. But the people on the cane train were heartfelt. And they put their money into it. They put their time into it. They put their out-of-the-box thinking into it, and they ran with it. And that's the kind of people we've got to get. We've got to get people that inspire those. We know one of the reasons why Herman Cain did so well was that Gallup's got that positive intensity poll. And Herman Cain sat at 25 to 30% positive intensity, while even the best of the best running against him in that primary had a hard time ever reaching past 15. Ron Paul never got past about 12, and a couple of them caught up. The only one really, Huckabee, at the very beginning when he was just thinking about maybe getting into the race, was up there real high in positive intensity too. And what positive intensity says is if you've got the level playing field when it comes to name recognition, who do they like the most? And Herman Cain came way out. We've got to have good candidates that inspire the people, but then we've got to get the people to get out there and do it. And I'm a firm believer, if we find the right people this time, we'll gather up a whole lot more people just like that. You know, one of my biggest gauges that I've got in my life for seeing how people are waking up is my sister. My sister has always been the one that just, you know, kind of listened to my rantings about politics, but never discussed it. And I've watched her over the last 4 years with what's going on in the administration in Washington, D.C., what's going on in the schools. I've watched her go from somebody who just voted to who had her set of beliefs to somebody who is active. And she's actively working with our group here in Springville on to fight against Common Core. And she gets in and she pays more attention to the news. And I know that if she's doing that, then there are many, many more across the country who've never paid attention before, but they're starting to wake up. And I believe that's a sign. And I really do. I believe that we are going into this next 2014 election. We're going in with every single snowball you could ever need to have a snowball fight. We got Common Core. We got Obamacare. We got NSA. We got the FBI. We got wiretapping. We have got a bunch of left plans, plots, ideas that have fallen flat on their face. Solyndra, Fast and Furious, Benghazi. We've got an arsenal of things to fight against the left in this next 2014 election. If these candidates will just pick them up and throw them, we're going to win this election. It's not a matter of politics this next election. It's a matter of basic fundamental ideas. Which direction do you want to go? Do you want a country where you just give everybody everything that they need and so everybody has a lower standard of living? Or do you encourage a free market system where we build wealth, and because of that wealth, everybody's got a higher standard of living? Our poor support in this country have got a better standard of living than man has ever had at a poor level, let alone those in the middle class. I look around at the things I've got. Oh, my goodness. The things that we've got today and the luxuries and the food that we eat and everything, we have got such a great standard of living still. And we know the left doesn't care if they destroy that as long as it accomplishes their task. They don't mind destroying the schools as long as they accomplish the task of getting in control over the minds and the hearts of our kids. They don't mind destroying the health care in this country as long as they gain control over it and turn it into a single-payer system. We know where they're going. We know where they're running. They've written books on it. And we're in a great situation, I think, if these candidates will just pick it up. You know, Ronnie, I want to send it back to you. You know, you got some great connections with some great people who are willing to stick their necks out. And it's not easy in California. But I think it's a lot easier than a lot of people think it is. I think part of our problem in California, and I said this when you were running this last summer for vice chair of the GOP, I believe our problem is not so much that we're full of a bunch of liberals here. I believe it's we've begun to believe the narrative that California is so blue it'll never go back. And I don't believe that for 5 seconds. We passed Prop 8 with almost 60% of the vote of the state of California. We've got the conservatives here. We've got the people. We've got the grassroots. We've got the ability. We've got all the tools to win this if we'll just quit listening to the other side that says you can't win. That's the problem in Alabama 7. That's the problem in local Alabama politics when it comes to Alabama 7. Is everybody's already defeatist. They've already decided you can't win in Alabama 7. So why try? But this is the state where Ronald Reagan came from. This is the state where when Ronald Reagan, whether you like him or not, when he was in control of the state, he balanced the budget so good, and I was a little kid, he balanced the budget so well that they turned around and sent refunds back to the people. And we can get back to that, Rodney. I really am a firm believer. We can get back to that.
Oh, we absolutely can get back to it if we all just focus. You know, it's too many people, you know, in the digital age, they watch Facebook, they watch Jon Stewart, they watch CNN or the news. And as far as I'm concerned, tons of the listeners have heard me speak at either a Tea Party, a Women's Republican Federated, and I never quote even Fox News, and I'm a right-winger. I get my own information before I make up my own mind, you know, and you got to be willing to do a little research before you say something. But, you know, if you don't do it, the low-information voter age of California especially is just absolutely ridiculous that, you know, People I know who are conservative Republicans that voted yes on Prop 14, the top two primary system, and now are going, what the hell? How come we – but it said – the commercial said voter integrity. Wow, that was smart. Good. You know, you watched the commercial and you ran out there, and you speak about the voters. 71% of Californians voted yes on Prop 8, and it got overturned by a liberal – appellate court, and people go, see, it doesn't do any good to vote. No, actually, I want to ask every listener here, think for yourself, and Jen and Scott, you can do this too, on the last 10 elections that you voted in, how many times did you not mark on the judge's candidate because you didn't know anything about him? Or you just marked whoever the incumbent is? This is scary. It's about 70% of Californians simply mark incumbent or leave it blank because they didn't research the judges. That local judge, who do you think gets the next appointment to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal or the Sixth? Or where do you think those judges came from?
Well, and
or
that's
you saw
so
it on
true,
the mail piece.
There huh? are a bunch of local races, and we need to focus on those. That's the one thing that I got out of Hurricane. You know, that awful Saturday that we all stood in front of the television and watched him up on that stage and went, no, you got to be kidding me, because we'd put our hearts into it. But he said, go local. Go local. And we did. And I didn't really understand the full meaning of that until I got to the end of the year, and I decided at the end of the year I got to go even more local. That was why I jumped onto the bandwagon for Rodney Stanhope, because I not only did I know of you and knew you were a good guy, I knew that it was important that we make sure we know who we're putting into our GOP party. Our judges, oh, man, that's so important. We know it's important because every Thursday for 3 years now we've been talking about Don Miller and a man who's sitting in prison now for 16 years out of a 42-year sentence who did not commit a crime because there was a bad judge who couldn't keep a sting in his pants in the bars and couldn't keep himself out of stripper bars and couldn't keep his hands off of the victim. And so now we've got a man sitting in prison. We got a man whose son committed suicide to try and bring national recognition to the case. We've got a mom and a dad, Pat and Norm, who are sitting at home waiting for their son to come home because we got a crappy judge in Hurley, Wisconsin, who is a narcissist and who will not do the right thing. We got to go local, folks. And, you know, we talked about some great bigger candidates. We talked about, we loved Herman Cain. You know, but Tim Donnelly's a great, great candidate. But it's so also important that we go local and look at these guys on our local ballots. I do the same thing, Rodney. I get to the end of that ballot, and there's certain people that I have no idea who it is. I do sit and just take some time at that ballot to look them up and try and see if I can see where they stand. Sometimes it's a little bit harder on like a school board election to find information about people. But we've got to, because it does start local. And our local campaigns are where we get some of these national candidates from. They start local. And we've got to start feeding it at the bottom. We've got to start filling in at the bottom with good people. Not just good conservatives, not just good people that stand by the Constitution, not just people that have good values, but people that have the ability to change minds and hearts. The kind of people that we know, they can go to Sacramento, they can go to Tulare County, they can go to Washington, D.C., they can do their job and stay the same people they are when they went in. People of character. You know, I think that's probably our biggest problem is when we sit down to look at a candidate, I think as a whole of the nation, we sit down, the first thing we do is go to those issues. And we look at what issues they stand on and what they don't stand on, and that's where we make our decision. Instead of really looking at who's inside that person, who that person is, who they're going to be, what kind of leadership qualities they've got. Really, really look at the people. And that's why I praise Big Rodney, the work you're doing, because you're helping the people of California to see these other items besides just how they feel on a machine gun that sends out 3 billion bullets in 2 minutes. You know, and that's an issue that's important to me, but it's those basic foundational principles that are absolutely essential.
Well, you know, one of the things that's true is, you know, people see – You go look at what they stand for. Well, I got news for you, folks. That's their campaign marketing material. That doesn't make it the Bible. You know, you want to know what they stand for? If the candidate won't look you in the face and tell you what they stand for, do not read it on a mail piece that they sent to your house and go, oh, look, he, you know what? Please, okay? I got a car in my front yard. I want to sell you for $100,000. It's an amazing sports car. It doesn't run, doesn't start, but that's not how my marketing piece looks. Come on, you know. And here's something people can look at. Go look at where the money's at. We have a candidate in Assembly District 11. Right now, we got $500 in her bank account. Her opponent, who's currently in office, has $680,000. You know what, people? Take a look at this. He's spent the last 2 years racking up $680,000 in huge donations, but he's not passed a bill in the state legislature as a Democrat in a legislature that is a two-thirds supermajority. Even Republicans have gotten bills through lately, but Jim Frazier has not. That should tell you something. Don't read the marketing piece. If nothing else, I'd be damn interested in meeting the opponent, Monique Martin. If for no other reason than she has $500, he's got almost $750,000, and that's all he's done for 2 years is raise money. That should bother you. No matter what his mail campaign says, no matter if you voted for him last time, I'd be worried. People need to look this stuff up. every single state in this nation has a Secretary of State's website where you can follow the money. I would follow the money. Don't just believe mail pieces. You know, people got to look. Marketing campaigns are real easy to mess up or to you know, make everything look hunky-dory and cheery. But you don't get a Ronald Reagan, which, by the way, the Republican Party told him they didn't want him to run for governor of California, and he did anyway, and that was all grassroots. You know, Herman Cain, no, he didn't win because the establishment was against him. They didn't want him in. God forbid a Republican tells the truth and tells it like it is. Why do you think I spent $18,000 on my vice chair race? My opposition spent $80,000 to beat me, you know? And in the meantime, I've kept working on campaigns, kept going out and talking to groups, kept trying to spread the message. This radio show, none of us ever met before Herman Cain, and look at what we're doing. This is how it all begins, you know? So, got to do
Rodney,
it.
And I think that kind of segues us into another side of this, which is also not just a candidate, but some organizations out there that are trying real hard. And, of course, you know, we all call ourselves Frederick Douglass Republicans, and I'm a firm believer in Kay Carl and what he does. There's other organizations out there that are working really hard. You know, Ken Crow has got a lot of things going on, and different people across the country have put together organizations. You know, Rodney, are working with an organization to try and accomplish things. In fact, you're working with a few. But, Jennifer, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about some of the things besides candidates that are going on down in Alabama. We've got, of course, we've all mentioned already Frederick Douglass and the Frederick Douglass Republican movement, which is going back to the basics. But there's some, you know, Jonathan Barbie, I know that he's been working with Alabama, a group, to put out a book about how to fight Common Core in the states. There's some other things going on down there in Alabama. Jay, I want you to, if you would, bring some of those out, some of the stuff that's going on.
Well, you know, we've got a couple things that are happening right now. We've got some pro-life bills that are going to be coming up on the floor. One of the problems that we have is that there's these, you know, deals that have been made that they only want to allow one bill to pass per year. And we're saying that, you know, if it's a good, solid, you know, bill, then don't let it gerrymander itself to death. Don't let it filibuster itself to death and end up, you know, not passing. We've got to have our leaders to step up to the plate, you know, and do the necessary things to get these bills passed. We've got issues right now where Common Core is being fully implemented in a lot of the school districts, and we've got to get people out there more educated on what the issues are. People are not doing their people are just not interested. But we've got to get people to understand. You know, when you're going to your PTO meetings, and you have those of us that are out there that do get it. I mean, I talk with teachers in my son's school that behind the scenes they say, I can't stand the things that are happening in our school district, but I'm afraid to step up and say anything because I'm going to lose my job. And, you know, and my comment to one teacher was, well, just take comfort in knowing that I'm out there fighting a good fight for you. My son goes to this school, you know, and it's time that we make a stand. We've got some other things that are happening there. One of the things that we're fighting is they're trying to put a windmill up in a place called Mentone, Alabama, where there's no wind. They want a windmill farm up there. It's supposed to be an alternative to our energy source. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. You know, that's why we've got to get Jonathan Barbie elected, because he's a candidate that's out there doing the necessary things to know the facts to make a difference. We have, you know, numerous there's another race going on in District 6. We have a congressman that has decided, Congressman Backus has decided to retire. So we've got a couple of candidates that have come out. One of my favorite candidates that we have right now is Dr. Chad Mathis, orthopedic surgeon, running for Congress in District 6, doing the necessary things. He just recently came out giving 10 reasons for why we do not need the health care. The things that you don't know, the things they're not saying. You know, it's time that we wake up. We're going to find ourselves in a position, you know, where we're going to be wondering what the heck happened. And, you know, there's a couple of things happening with our legislator right now. You know, Senator Jeff Sessions, thank you for all that you're doing for the state of Alabama. Congressman Mo Brooks, thank you again for all that you're doing. It's time. We've got other senators like Senator Gerald Allen and others that are out there fighting the good fight. You know, he recently threw a bill out there, Senator Gerald Allen did, so that we do not take Christ out of Christmas, that it's okay to use the word Christmas in school functions, that, you know, when it comes to those sort of things, you know, that we're not going to lose our rights on that. Thank you for standing up for those Christian principles. And we've got, you know, many other things going on in the state. January the 25th, we have Sharon Angle, who is the president of the National Federation of Republican Assembly, coming to Birmingham, Alabama, to speak, and she's going to be talking about voter fraud and that sort of thing. That's on the 25th of January. More will be revealed about that. Some of you may know her as the candidate that ran against Harry Reid in 2010 for Senate. It's time we take a stand, people. You know, we've got to do our due diligence. Roddy?
Hey, you know, on that note, you know, it's like this is probably a crazy idea on my part, but at this point, if you're running for office and you need advice, if you're running for office and you need to know where to, obviously on my side, get your campaign signs from, or how to find a web guy. I'm not saying you have to hire Span, my political team, but if you want to know about a candidate that's in your area, I don't care which of the 50 states you're in, you look Rodney Stanhope up and you Google it. You'll find my phone number. Call me. I don't care what race you're running for, what state you're in, we will help you. And that's period. For any candidate listening to this show, go ahead and try it, because our team is completely dedicated to making sure we have victories with conservatives. And Scott knows me well enough. If I talk to you for an hour on the phone and I think you're lying to me, you ain't getting no help. So be forewarned. But we will help candidates across this country, or even people who go, I don't know who I'm supposed to vote for. I'll tell you if they're a Span client. I'll tell you if they're not. I'll go do the research for you, and I'll come back to you with it. I don't care. That goes for anybody. Scott?
But, you know, Ronnie, that's so important, because there is a wealth of understanding out there. And I saw something really magical happen during those Kane months. As, you know, you've got a campaign, and then in the states, we had this underlying group of grassroots that put together their knowledge and their ability, and they started putting together a team to fight for Herman Cain. And like I say, the campaign at the time was spending about $10,000 a month on a national campaign, which is pennies. But there were hundreds and thousands of people all across the country who were spending time. And Teresa Bruschi, she put together the social networking group, and that was what she did. When somebody wanted to know how to Facebook or wanted to know how to use Twitter to help Herman Cain, you went to her social networking group, and there were people in there that were willing to help, willing to take the time to show you how. And Man, we can do this if we put the groups together. We're getting towards the going to be heading up to the top of this next, the end of the hour, and I want to change gears a little bit here. Excuse me, I want to get a little emotional. My favorite movie of all time. There's none other even comes close. Maybe Auntie Mame might come close, but it's The Sound of Music. Since I was a little kid, I've loved that movie. Since I was a little kid, anytime it came on, I think I've owned 4 DVDs. I've gone through 4 DVDs already. I can't count how many times I've watched that. But it wasn't until the last 3 years that I really understood Captain Von Trapp. And it's been in the last 3-4 years that I really began to understand when he's gathered together with those Nazis, and he knew they wanted to take Austria in a different direction. They wanted to bring change to Austria, and it was coming. And they basically told him, you know, it's coming, it's on its way. You might as well just give up on this, you know. And he came home and he tore the flag down off the front of his house that they'd placed up there while he was on his honeymoon. And it's an emotional thing for me because I love my country. I'm a patriot through and through. I love this great country. I love our mistakes as well as our successes, because in some ways one of the reasons why we're such a strong country is because we've learned from many mistakes. That's the kind of country we are. You know, we're the kind of country that we put somebody up on a pedestal, we knock them down, but then when they get back up again, we get behind them and support them again. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad, but that's the kind of country we are. We're a great country. We've done so many wonderful things in this world, especially in the last 100 years. We have fed billions of people. Not just with the money that the government hands out to foreign countries. A lot of times that money just gets lost in the shuffle. But individuals all over this great country through different organizations have given their money that have helped bring medicine, bring food, bring water to parts of the world that didn't have it. Our standard of living that we've got here has enabled many products, many blessings, be spread. You know, we don't think about it too often, but isn't it nice to have a flush toilet? You know, I live up here in the midst of Osborne country, where the Osbornes go back to 1873, and you know, the Osbornes haven't always had flush toilets. That's kind of insane. But we've got so many blessings in this country, and it's worth fighting for. It is worth fighting for. I sometimes feel like Captain Von Trapp, and I see that there is a movement on in this country to try and change us to something that we know is not gonna get us where they want us to get it. We know that the left solutions do not come in and solve the problems that they state. We've seen that big time with Obamacare right now. It's in a mess. The president's in a big mess. When David Gregory comes out and says it's worse than the Republicans could ever have said it, the Republicans undersold how bad it was going to be, you know there's a big mess. But we know it's that way because we know where they were trying to go. And I want to pass it around as we go. I want us to take us off on more of a little bit of a patriotic note. You know, this country's so great, and we got great candidates, and we've got great people that want to be law enforcement. We've got great people that want to be judges. We've got great people that want to be involved in government. They want to be involved in the local party. They want to be involved on the school board. They want to make a difference, and we're going to gather them up. And Rodney Spann is, I think, the key. I think it's situations just like that, and I want to just doodle what you said. And, man, Google him and look it up. Rodney will spend the time with you. And Rodney specializes on helping to get the message out. And he looks at his candidates. Rodney doesn't just support a candidate just because he wants to support a candidate. He resorts for a certain reason. And so I'll pass it back to you, Rodney, to kind of give your closing rant, and I'll then let you pass it to Jennifer. But I think it's worth saving. I think we're going to save it. I really believe 2014 is going to be a big turnaround this time, unless our candidates just fall flat. And if they do, then it's, maybe it's just time to move to Canada. But I'm moving to Dallas, Texas. Rodney.
Well, I can tell you this. 2014 will be huge in the rebirth and the taking back of America, unless, and it won't be if the candidates fall flat, it will be if you, the people, decide we, the people, do not own this country. It will be entirely our fault if we do not do this, because there are good candidates out there for school board, fire board, judge candidates, Congress, everything else. And if all you're focused on is one single issue, forget everything else, the guy could be completely conservative down the aisle, and because of one item, you're pissed off, stop. Guarantee it, your one issue, you will lose it when that guy loses his election. And Nancy Pelosi gets the gavel again. And we end up with Hillary for president, and we end up with single payer, even farther than Obamacare could ever hope to go, okay, it will be our fault. So if you sit around and people who are telling me now, what's with this Obamacare? My rates are going up. How come we can't stop it? We could have in 2012. You chose not to get involved. So now's your chance, 2014. It's time for you to remember why you're pissed off. And you need to go find a candidate. And you need to help on a campaign. It's not a full-time job like it is for me. It's going to 5 phone calls, 5 times between now and 2014, and $5. You've got to be able to talk to 5 of your friends. I guarantee you, no matter how pissed off you are right now, you've already told 5 of your friends how pissed off you are. Now you're going to tell them why you're supporting a candidate. Go find one. And if you're not sure who or where or why or what's going on, like I said, look me up on Google, Rodney Stanhope, find my phone number and call me. I will do the research. I will give you an unbiased opinion of all the candidates running. I don't care. However much time it takes, we've got to wake up. I'm not willing to wait until after Rome is burning. With that, Jennifer?
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think that people are starting to wake up. We knew that there were those of us that said, give it middle of the road in the this election season for 2012, and people start to see the facts about what's happening with the Affordable Health Care Act. You know, I'm hearing people say now, I didn't know it was going to cost me. I thought it was going to be free. I didn't know that my ability to keep my own insurance was going to drive my premium up, and I, you know, people are losing jobs now. People are losing, you know, so much that they didn't realize, you know. And I think I read something the other day about how the government entitlements are going to be affected too. So it's, I think that there are more people that are starting to get really frustrated and looking for answers, looking for ways to make things different. And I think that people are getting sick and tired of the Pinocchio mentality. You know, every time a politician tends to open his mouth, the nose just grows and grows and grows. You know, people are tired of, they want to know the facts. And so I think that you're going to probably see more people come out this time, but it's going to take a groundswell of us, you people like you and myself, and you know, the moms on the street, the many, many people that are out there that are going to want to know where to go. I think we need to harness that energy. We need to go to these people and say, look, you know, I have somebody that I think would make a great candidate. Would you like to help make a difference so that your community can have a better infrastructure, can have more jobs available to them? And that's what it's going to take. We're going to need to have more people going door to door. We got to get, but you know, at the end of the day, if it's going to take people coming to the polls. One of the things I do know is, you know, you got the voter machines, you've got problems with corrupt SIM cards being replaced, you know, and people think Don't think that voter fraud is over. It's going to get worse because there are people that have an agenda, and their agenda is not to support the Constitution, to support the American people. It's one rule world order. I believe that if we strip it down, take all the technology away, that at the end of the day, that there are people that have the agenda. They want to take over the United States. And it's going to take people, you know, out there in the streets getting busy doing the necessary things. You know, find somebody that you know in your community that's running for an office that you feel passionate about. If you've got children that are in school, pay attention to who the school board candidates are. You know, if you have issues in your community, like here in Alabama, you know, we had a tornado that came through a few years back. And people are learning about this subject matter of called Agenda 21, you know, where the government can just decide if they want to, you know, to take your property. Somebody tried to do that with a lady that was in my community, and she owns her own beauty salon, owns the property that it sits on, you know, and Tommy Metrock said, this is mine, it belongs to me, you're not going to put a walking memorial park through my beauty salon, I'm going to rebuild. And she got out there and she fought for it and got loud and voiceful, you know, and now she is educating others. She went through it herself, and now she doesn't want anyone else to have to deal with the same issue. So she's out there as an advocate to make a difference. So, you know, you don't have to have a Harvard degree to get this. You know, you want to be able to put food on the table and have an opportunity to build wealth on your own. If you want to be your, you know, own boss and create your own job for your family, you should have the right to do that. This is America, the United States. So, you know, it's time. Our friend D-Rock, man, bless his heart. He's out there, you know, on stage, singing the songs, God Bless America. It's time that we take a stand for our rights. You know, I even understand our good rocker, Ted Nugent, cut his hair because he's thinking about running for president. Now, do I think he will win? I don't know. But, you know, here's a guy, stands for Second Amendment rights, fighting the good fight, willing to speak his mind, you know, and for what? For our freedoms. We need more people willing to take a stance like that. Scott?
Well, exactly. And, you know, it makes me just think of a whole line of people. You know, Karen Sigmund and Rage Against the Media. Man, working so hard. Of course, Kay Carl. And there's so many others that are doing so many little things. You know, Steve Foley down in the Long Beach area ran for Congress in the primary. But let me tell you, is putting together some technological stuff that we can have some protections with, and he's putting together some server space and doing all kinds of neat things. We've got so many different things to support and things to help with, not just candidates, but different people. You know, you mentioned D-Rock, and D-Rock, all you do is say that word, and you almost bring a tear to my eye, because we use his music, and we use his music not because I like D-Rock. We use his music because his words are awesome. You know, keep on keeping on, and this is God Country and Patriot Girl, and he does. He gets out, him and Kim get out, and they beat the Bushes. Kim just had a very successful rally for common sense, and they're turning that foundation into a foundation that can help support people that have some ideas that want to need some funding to get on the way, and different people, different groups all over. Right now, active and going. We don't get to see them as much. I really loved it when we were on the Kane train because we had these connections. We had these feelers. We had, you know, Cost, and we had Team Kane, and we had Elect Kane, and we had these different formats where everybody was kind of connected and we could always knew what was going on. It's a little bit harder now. There's a lot of stuff going on. We don't always see it. Sometimes we rely on seeing which Facebook post comes up at the moment. But there's so much out there to support and so many people that are willing to fight for this great country. You know, that's what it's always taken. It's always taken a fight for this great country. There's always going to be people that are of the mentality to be jealous or the mentality to not appreciate greatness, to not appreciate what achievement is. And we see that in this president. We know he's been open about it. It's not anything that's been hidden. The news media just won't report on it. But he's been saying for decades that, you know, he really believes that everything should be more a little bit more fair and that the great America shouldn't be so great and that we've just been obnoxious and all these bad things. But it's not true. It's very, very untrue. And we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep fighting. You know, we do want to mention, before we get to the top of the hour, we want to mention some of the other shows on Blog Talk Radio. We've got the IRP6. We've got their show, Just Cause Coast to Coast, on Thursday night at 5 o'clock California time. An important show. You know, we've talked about the politics. We barely covered what's going on in our judicial system. But we got to watch that, too, because we end up with some people that are out of line. And it affects our personal freedoms in a very severe way. Ladies' Bible class on Friday, a great time to sit down if you just want to hear the story of the Old Testament, that novel in the Old Testament. We got 10 more weeks at John and Betty's house, and then I will be in Dallas, Texas. Looking forward to that. But we're in the middle. We're starting up Samuel right now and getting ready to go into the story. Well, we actually started last week, the story of Saul. And if you're ready for some comedy, if you don't think God's got a sense of humor, just read the story of King Saul. Talk about it like crazy. And then, of course, you know, we don't want to forget Free Don Miller Thursday night on the Underground Hard Drive. We've got that back over at the Underground Hard Drive, and Steve Williams and I do that each Thursday night. And Monday, Rodney's got a show. He's been on hiatus for a couple of weeks. Rodney's always busy. And then we want to mention Dan Wilson. You know, last week we were really worried about Dan. Dan's gotten out of the hospital. He's doing good. We did the show Saturday, Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. We did that show, and he's feeling better than he's felt in a while, and we're thankful for that. He decided to take the night off. This evening and kind of kick it a little bit. He's been pushing it a little bit too much after coming home from the hospital. But we do this, do what we do, because we love this country. And Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama is active every day of the week. She's doing something. Rodney Stanhope out here in California is active. Not only active, but moving a lot up and down the state and working hard out in the trenches. And I do the same thing right here from my little spot, and we're going to continue to do that. I can't wait to get to Texas. I've often said since the Kane days, all my friends back east get to have all the fun, and all I get is this old Blog Talk Radio show, especially during the primary. You know, when you're doing a primary, national presidential primary, California kind of sometimes just about gets missed out. By the time it gets to California, all the fun's going on back east. But I'm going to be down in the middle of Texas, right there in Dallas, some really fun things going on. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to continuing as we go into 2014. It's going to be a very good year as we go forward. And so many things going on. You know, we got Twitter and Facebook groups all over the place. Folks, what we're asking is if you're listening right now, pick up tomorrow and do something for somebody. Try and help to spread the message. Tell somebody why you're a conservative, why you believe what you believe. You know, if it's a matter of getting on it and encouraging somebody, get on and encourage somebody. If it's a matter of getting on and giving some money, you know, I hate that part of campaigns. I absolutely do. But it takes money to make a campaign run. If you're able to do that, do that. If you're not able to do anything else but to help share the message on Facebook or Twitter or other social media, that's great. Or maybe, you know, Rodney's making signs. Can you put a sign in your yard? Or can you take some cards and go down and speak to some people? Can you go to your local Tea Party meeting and talk about your candidate? Can you go to a local anything going on and help spread the word? You know, when I sold World Book Encyclopedia back in the 90s, we had a little book designed for parents with little children called The Little Things Make a Big Difference. And it was little things that you could do, like reading to your child each night and a whole number of different things that you could do that made a big difference in the long run. And I've always loved that phrase, little things make a big difference, because that's what this Blog Talk Radio is about. You know, this is just me and Jen and Rodney talking and encouraging and trying to help spread information and trying to get you to understand that there's a Tim Donnelly and there's a Matt Dinkins and the many others that we support. It's all about that. It's little things make a big difference, because when we put ourselves all together, we make a mighty force. A mighty, mighty force. And we're going to continue to build that mighty force. And we're going to go into this next election cycle making sure we understand that. Because California, of all places, has proven in the last few months that it can be done. We've won some races that shouldn't have been won. Flat out. We've won some races that people in the beginning, the brilliant campaign people, the brilliant career politicians would say, oh, no, they can't possibly win that. And they did. And if I'm not wrong, Rodney, we've taken away the 2/3 majority from Sacramento from the Democrats, correct?
Yes, we have. In the Senate, we have. In the Assembly, we're still 2 seats away. But that could change on the upcoming election, you know.
Huh? That's right. So it can be done.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, the Paul Leon special election race. You know, he lost by 416 votes, and that would have actually broken the stalemate right there. But you have, you know, in California, there's 2 special elections coming up here in the very near future in California, and they are November 19th and December 3rd, State Assembly District 45, State Assembly District 54. If we were to win those two, no more supermajority. So,
and that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And I believe California is not a bunch of far left nut jobs. We've got a lot of them here. Believe me, we've got a lot of them here.
Yeah.
But California is about.
No, California is a very conservative state, and we used to win this. Duke Magian, Wilson, Reagan. We've had California governors, Bill Jones for Secretary of State, at the Insurance Commissioner's Office. Attorney General, we used to win elections, and this is my biggest advice. If you're pissed off at the Republican Party, you're not pissed off at the Republican Party, because that's people like us. You're pissed off at the consultants. Stop listening to consultants. Stop reading mail pieces. Get out there and do the job from the grassroots level. And if your candidate doesn't believe in grassroots, it's the wrong candidate, period. Because like I said before, when I got involved in politics in 1994, nobody asked me how important I was or how big a man I was, or how experienced I was. I was completely new to politics, and I said I want to help on McClintock's campaign for state controller, and he said, okay, great, and I started working. I barely had 2 nickels to rub together. I sure couldn't have written a big check or anything else, and, you know, it all started there, and everything I've done since have always been grassroots. I don't care if the candidate has $1 billion or has $3. Anybody can win the state as long as you run a good, solid campaign from the grassroots level. Because if you're talking to the voters and they can shake your hand and believe you're telling them the truth, it transcends political lines, it transcends political borders, and we can win this state back. And the same thing goes across the entire nation.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you anymore, Rodney. I couldn't agree with you anymore. And that, with that, we'll go ahead and close out. The lady says we've got 60 seconds before we're kicked off the internet. Of course, we know we can go a little bit over that. But, you know, it's been a great show, guys. You guys, it means a lot to me. There's some stuff going on in the background, and you know you guys mean the world to me. Jen, you know that. Rodney, you know that. We're a great team here. We miss Dan. We look forward to him being here next week because it's not the same without him. But we've got a great family here at Contending for Truth Radio, and I just want to say that right here on the air. I love you guys. You guys mean the world to me, and I'm looking forward to this next year. And with that, Contending for Truth Radio, you can email us at c4tradio@yahoo.com. That's c4tradio@yahoo.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to let D-Rock take us out.
I pray on my knees every night. A leader starts seeing the light. 'Cause the road that we're on ain't where we belong. We've gotten so far away from the truth. God has been and always will be the foundation of life's liberties. For Christians like me and you, it's high time we spread the news. We can't sit around anymore. Come on and stand up, stand up, and fight for what you believe in. This is God's country, God ain't leaving. Mm-hmm. No, no. Church bell and choir that sings, His message of love still rings. Across the land, He's everywhere. He answers you, our every prayer.